Good afternoon, Brendan. How are you? So exciting to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. It's been a while since we danced on a dance floor together.
Yes. Yeah, so we both share the massive passion for dancing in any way, shape or form, I would say. And that's why I have you here, because you do awesome things. You've danced a lot around the world, and also now you're going into dance therapy. So do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you and what you're doing?
Thank you. Yes, where do you start sometimes? That's always the big question. I suppose for me, it wasn't natural for me to dance. I didn't start as a dancer in life. I started as an Irish guy in a small village. And only when I left home at 17 did I really choose to do what I wanted to do. I came from a strict background. And dance was not in any part of my family. No one danced. And when I was 21 and a trained chef and I had my own house, I decided, okay, is this it? And I decided, no, I wanted to do something creative. And I went off and started dancing. I snuck out the door. It was a bit like Billy Elliot, actually. I'm like the Irish version of the Billy Elliot. So knocked out the door, didn't tell anyone, just, and my third class was a contemporary class, and it was a Spanish teacher, and she flowed so beautifully. She moved on the ground, came up, and I had never really seen anything like that. And after I seen it, I went to her and I said, I want to learn this. I feel like I have the energy. And when I was younger, sports were always promoted, but no creativity in art, or, you know, that wasn't the thing. So I said to her, I want to learn it. And she said, I'm in a dance school in Dublin, the only one really at the time. This was 2002, 1998. And I said, okay. She said, well, we're auditioning in 1 week. And I said, really? I said, well, I want to do the audition. So I basically shared a room with my brother, and I didn't tell him I was going to do this because I was afraid of judgment. And I pushed the bed up when he was away, and I was like, make this choreography. It was to the album Moon Safari Air, you know, and I created this piece, and I went in and did the audition, and I got in. And I rang my parents and I said, you know, like, I'm becoming a dancer. I'm giving up cooking. And don't worry, I'll pay for it myself. And I just left it at that. And that was it. And then, you know, in Ireland, it was a basic training. And then, of course, later on, I had to do auditions 2 years later. And I did some in London and in the Netherlands, and I got both. And I had to choose where I wanted to go. And I wanted to go to the Netherlands because it was a bit different than the Irish culture. England sometimes has a lot of Irish, and I wanted something new, a big change, you know? So went to the Netherlands for 6 years and studied, and then ended up in traveling, performing, and then back Melbourne. And that's where I have been for the last 14 years. So yes. There's kind of a little insight into where I kind of came from, but the work has definitely changed over the years. Yeah, the work, you know, originally you're training, I trained in the dance theater. And then when I came to Melbourne, I met an incredible master dancer named Tony Yap, and he became my mentor, and he still is my mentor in dance. And he studies in South Asian, specializes in trance states, bringing it into a contemporary meaning. So I've, over the last 13 years, I've gone a lot to India, done lots of trance dance in Indonesia, where people take on, and it's animism, so they take on the spirit of a deity, a god, or an animal. And when I first seen that many years ago, I looked at the focus they had and it blew my mind. I was like, I'm only acting in dance. I'm thinking. And they do not think. When you see them, they are animals. They break rocks off their heads. It was the most craziest, wildest experience, and interactive because it's all about community. And so it changed my whole concept on being a performer and understanding choreography. So yeah, I'm very much into this walking on stage, no plan, and in the moment, because I believe this is where you can create a sense of real magic. And yeah, that's becomes my real interest in the dance. And now, like I was saying to you before we started, I'm moving into the therapy area. I want to take some of these aspects of this study we've been involved in. I've been involved in a PhD that my friend Dr. Tony Yap has done. And he basically broke down trance into five focuses as a way of inducing trance and getting into the state of deep focus. And I want to bring this into a we're already doing it in performance, but I want to bring it into therapy because I think it can help a lot of people find movement in their body. Because when I look at people's bodies, I see a lot of stuck, I see a lot of places, a lot of blockages. And I really want to keep people in flow and movement. So yeah, there's a small, long introduction for you.
I love these introductions. it's amazing. I think.
You had the experience with me when a few years ago before COVID.
Yeah.
You were in the class, so this kind of brought us to where we are today.
Yes.
Of course, it's an honor to be here and just talk about dance because that's what I live and breathe.
Yes, absolutely. Same here.
When I asked you in a question of what stuck out from the teaching at that time, or I don't even like the word teaching.
Yeah.
It's a bit old-fashioned. But my vision is that I create a space like a laboratory or an investigation into something. So you set up a safe space and see what happens in that, you know, give certain ideas for people to play with. So yeah, so what did you feel when you encountered it for the first time?
Well, I mean, to shortly say, I mean, I danced ballet, jazz dance for years, then ballroom dancing, then salsa, and I was actually using it as a therapy for me as well to connect with myself when I was a teenager. Every night I was dancing in my room, moving, you know, to music. But I feel coming to ecstatic dance, you know, where maybe I can explain this quickly, where you pretty much, you are in a safe room and you just, there's silence, no one speaks with each other and you just kind of dance and you really feel into the sounds, you know, it's not like Madonna playing, it's just like sounds and maybe some chants, and you really get into the sound and you feel into your body and you know there's no judgment around you and you can move the way you feel, and maybe intuitively you go there where your body needs to be moved, you know, because I think dance is possibly the best thing to loosen up everything coming from my massage background. And when you go, you know, it's like moving where you go, like where you feel like you need to go. And and so I think that was really opening up my horizon as well of dancing, because what you just said before is like when you dance the whole time, because obviously like ballet or jazz, it's always like a performance where there are steps involved to also dance in the group. So it kind of looks like a performance. But when you actually shift this to, I mean, it doesn't need to be ecstatic dance. Even if you would go to Africa or in other places where people just do dancing for that it starts raining or something, it's just like a really different feeling, connecting yourself like with your body so deeply, and you can get in so Yeah, it's like a drug nearly for your own self. And so when I met you there, I think it was just, I mean, I truly believe I always just experience things that I feel are resonating with me, and specifically dancing. And when you were there, it was incredible. You know, it's like, apart from that, you can move your body amazingly, but also, so I think, you know, when you do something and you're so out there, it's so much easier for other people in the room to also connect to this energy and be like, cool, I can go as crazy as I want to, and no one is going to tell me I can't. But also, we did this exercise, and I remember I did this with this girl, and it was about us connecting through, I think, like, leading each other with eyes closed, I think the instruction was that you put a song on and the other person was looking at you while you were moving your body, imagining you're in the square box, and you were moving in that, and I remember it was so profound on when we exchanged the thoughts afterwards, this girl and I, on how much I read of her personal feeling with being without even knowing her and had never spoken to her. And it was so accurate what feedback I gave her, where I'm like, do you feel like this in life? Or, you know, like, do you feel like that? And it was just such a, like possibly a therapeutic thing, on that someone feels into something and the other person intuitively still reads it. And it's such a deep, profound kind of connection. And so I think that was also a long explanation for your question. But I think it's also good to explain a bit on, because if people don't know what ecstatic dance is, there's possibly no point in listening further if you have no clue what I'm talking about. I think that was just incredible I think it's amazing, and it's truly your I can definitely see you more in dancing than cooking, even if if that is possibly also a good thing. I think it's great.
I still cook, don't you worry about that, you know. But it's interesting on when I reflect on what you experienced. So I can give some more in-depth areas of what came up for me. For example, what I've discovered through this research my friend has been doing, that there's really three reasons why people dance. One is for themselves, their own sense of satisfaction. Like when you dance in the house, or you dance in the shower, or you dance in your room. Like when you just mentioned that when you were younger, you used to do that, you know? The second reason is community, and ecstatic dance is about community, and it can have a therapeutic area for the individual, but also you're taking the space and the people in the space. And also this is, you know, can be even a dance party when we all go out. This is like, sometimes it's therapy, you know, because if you look at ourselves as a balance of masculine, feminine, and also this, when people talk about light and shadow, or you know, the dance of the darkness is Bhutto, so it's a kind of sense of getting something out, and it was everything opposite to Americanization. So that's why Bhutto came out. It came out during the nuclear bombs after they went off, and it was everything that was repressed to, like, if you look at ballet, it has such a form, and it's all about me a little bit, you know? Whereas Bhutto is more about internal darkness. Allow something to come out of you, and the eyes will change. And so this is kind of like just different ways they came about, the dance came about. And in ecstatic dance, we're looking to get into a certain, our own, feel safe in the space, and then allow something new to, I believe, something new to come out. This is probably the big question I have with sometimes in ecstatic dance. if you go there 10 nights in a row, of course, you can go in there and close your eyes and it can be about you. But is that staying safe? So now that my work is moving more into therapy, I realize that, you know, a lot of the times we've grown in our life have come from the struggles. It's coming. So in some ways you want people to go in to the blockage psychologically or physically to open up something new. And so, yeah, I gave you, there's three reasons why people dance. The third reason then is performance. And performance is very different than therapy. And this is sometimes mistaken. For example, if I go on stage and I close my eyes and I dance, I don't know if that is performative for the audience to watch, if the audience would wonder, or is that about me? You know, it's like some things that are rituals, like lighting a candle or lighting incense. Sometimes when I see people do this on stage, I don't know what's the meaning of that sometimes. And, you know, it depends if you're, you know, I can understand it in a therapeutic and maybe in a ritual setting, but I don't know about it always in performance. So these are the questions I would have. And so, yeah, you know, so ecstatic dance is a beautiful group experience. And yes, it's the music is very important. People go on a journey. It has similarities to Five Rhythms, but Five Rhythms has more clarity with the different zones they want you to go into, you know? So, yes.
Yeah, I found through all like Five Rhythms, I mean, this is obviously a bit about, I think, fast and slow. And so you always have these instructions again. And I think it's the same as Bio Dancer. No Lights, No Lycra is literally dancing in the dark, which I think is also absolutely incredible. They have then obviously more also mainstream music, but also chanting and things. But it's actually also really great dancing in the dark, not seeing anyone else, and you just go internal. But I think ecstatic dance has the space a bit more. I feel like there's more to expand your experience.
I agree. I think, it's how the space is held, you know, and the space is held really good. And you mentioned something for me, when you provide a space, the last thing even if I'm doing a workshop, that's a space designed for something uniquely different. It's not designed for the normality of the movements that are on the outside when you go outside. In fact, sometimes you want to bring in this sense of the ridiculous or the new. Yeah. It's a space. So when you see me, I take that on. I feel like my body will allow just to show that it feels a comfort in being able to do anything. It gives a certain freedom and a certain permission for people to dance. And this connects up with the area of mirror neurons. So when I am relaxed, when my body is at ease, then the people around me become at ease. And we know this is true, you know, because body language is so strong. So yeah, so these are the things that I'm, you know, and this whole area of the moment. But I also like this area of one-on-one. And with my work in therapy now, it's about being the witness, you know, with the witness and observation. And, you know, after going through something like COVID, and we're still going through it, we haven't had that opportunity to be observed. And it was difficult before. Now it's even more difficult. But people want it because they've been kind of locked up for a couple of years on and off. And it's like, now it feels like people are ready to celebrate, get out there and get be seen a little bit more, you know? So yeah, it's very powerful to be watched. And it reminds me of Marina Abramovic with her famous movie, The Artist is Present.
Yeah.
And where she done that experiment in the MoNA Theater or the MoNA Contemporary Museum in New York. Mm. For 3 months, she would look at people for 8 hours. And you would have very strong feelings of people cry. And why is that? Well, it's because people become feeling invisible, you know?
Mm.
That's the thing. If people start feeling that they're not, they don't, you know, nobody cares or something like that. And, you know, that's a very big thing now, especially after COVID, because we isolated people for the reasons we had to do that. So, yeah. So I can see the importance. And then to move in the Western society, we're so cognitive.
Yeah.
We have to understand everything. But, you know, this area of being able to move and to be observed, it shows up so much. And it's so healing for both parties, you know, and creates dialogue.
I think also moving energy in the body, you know.
Yes, because it blocks. It totally blocks. You know what I mean? The shoulders can come up, the neck. And that leads me on to something that I really would like to show, actually. So because I don't work with form, I'm really interested in you finding your own unique dance.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to keep in your own flow. And so one of the things when people ask me, oh, wow, teach me some dance, you move so well. And I go, thank you, I'm so humble. That's such a nice thing for you to say. But I am like always trying to think, what can I give them? And I want to give some key insights into what I will always share with people. And the first thing is, and I can do it there with you, just sitting, it's no problem.
Yeah.
So when I've observed people who are in the deepest states of trance, people who are possessed by an animal spirit, you will see that the neck is totally released. In fact, African, you know, they're totally in it. So you know that these people are not thinking, okay? When you see a lot of people, for example, when they have their eyes closed in ecstatic dance and they're dancing beautifully and the neck is moving, and it was beautiful that you talked about no light, no lycra, because I've experienced it. And I was in the jungle of Malaysia, and I was working. I went on an experience with this the Tamir tribe, and we were dancing in these bamboo huts. And they talked about they were black, and the music was going off, and they said that the dance is in the dark because it's between you and your idea of God. And that really inspired me. So now we're here. I feel my neck moving. I have my eyes closed. It's between me. It's my own special private place. Nobody is there, just me and whatever I want to discover in my body. And when you open your eyes, this is what normally happens. The neck will stiffen because people start seeing what's in front of them. They might feel self-conscious. They might see, they might think and even see someone looking at them. It mightn't even be about them, but that's the natural tendency that we think. So they're dancing, you know, and they're moving their arms. And then the next thing, they open their eyes and it stops. And with the upper body, this is like, and when you know this now, you'll see it in people. This is the beauty of it, you know?
Yeah.
What I always say to people is, you imagine like there's the figure 8 on the back of your neck, but it's on its side, like infinity.
Mm.
And you can do it, which just in your eye, and you close your eyes. And you can move this forward and it can travel down your spine and it can be very still. It can be moving just like in between the vertebrae of the spine. And the skill I always find is how to start to open your eyes and keeping this feeling in the body. So the tendency is to people open their eyes quickly, but if you open your eyes slowly, you'll kind of get this blurred feeling in your eyes. It would be very different than when I'm talking to you, like I have been. I have a very clear focus in my eyes. I see the details. And so this is part of the research I'm doing. It's the five focuses that Tony has created, A, B, C, D, E. And so I'll introduce this for you a little bit. So A focus is like when you pick up a ball and you throw it into a hoop, or when I look at you, I see you very clearly. So when I dance, and I'll get up and I'll show you. When I dance, it's a very clear focus. I can see, I can come forward, I can look at you. I'm looking, but I'm, you know, and this is a very clear sort of a dance. It's a very, you know, it's like sports. You have to have a very clear idea of what you're doing because you have to be prepared. The B focus is what I teach or share with a lot of people, because this is what we're talking about now. The B focus is like, you look at your finger. This is very kind of popular in Indonesia. So it's kind of ends up like I'm looking through you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like I was in front of you, like I am, you're looking through me. And vision starts to move out to the side. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's the focus. It's less, I would say, attached emotionally to what's going on, because you're in a blurred kind of focus. So the dance of that is more like I'm looking through you. But you can play. I can go from here into A, and then I can come back. And these are all different transitions and a different way to find in your own special dance. So just to remind you, I'm in this with my neck. And my neck is moving whatever way. And then I want to open my eyes. So I will slowly open my eyes into a B focus. You look through me, and now your neck is still moving, and that means you're in the body. And there you go. And you can even open your ups like eyes even more like a shutter, but you're still looking through. So yeah, your eyes don't have to attach. They can be just like this. And this. So you're kind of in some ways looking internally at your body. And as you go along the A, B, C, D, E, so E is the most deepest form of trance. It's like the possessed area. And it's a very hard area to reach, especially if you're trying to, you know, take on the spirit. It's a cultural thing. When you take an animal trance dance, like in Central Java, like I've been involved in Banting, which is bull and tiger trance dance. When you try to take that and bring it to the West, it doesn't really travel, because it's all about the environment. It's, you know, and it's kind of connected with therapy, like we talked about. So the second reason for dancing. So it's interesting. So yeah, so the next two stages, C and D, they're more going into the subconscious. So it's like this concept of like your, the voice will change too. And I don't want to explain too much about it because but the voice will change. I'll give you a little idea. It's like you're kind of waking up in the morning and the voice will change. So when I do, I can vocalize, when you get into them states, you vocalize from the body, lets out a sound. So I can go into vocalized states in that moment when I feel my body in the right place. It allows something out, you know, but I don't plan that because I'm all about that in the moment, you know.
And so yeah, A is literally high alert kind of more. And as more as you go towards E, you kind of easing completely into what your body is kind of telling you, right? Yeah.
And D is like drunk. We call it defocus. It begins with D, drunk. So it's like you're drunk on your feet.
Yeah.
But you're not just drunk. You're actually like, you see, there's a skill to it. It's like I can be so relaxed and released in my body, but you have this grace, and you the grace is the experience, and you know you how to catch yourself at the last moment without hurting yourself. So these are all the little things that you gain from being in these states and trusting in yourself. And that's what I'm very interested in, how you can let your body have its own thinking. So your body's intelligence and trusting, but you have to be able to get out of your thinking for it to find its own. Yeah. And that's the skill. And sometimes people think they're in their body, or they use words like embodiment, but they're big words. And in the times we live in now, they kind of don't mean much a lot of the time, you know? And, you know, so there's many levels, shall we say. So these are some little things that I can, you know, figure out. And you don't need much space to dance. You know, even one of the simple things when people ask me about it, I say, you know, it's what sort of dance do you want me to teach you? Because if it's a form, I can't really teach you a form. That's kind of like I've let go of all my forms. And when you have I've done ballet for 8 years. And the thing about it is if I injure my arm, then I can't do ballet. So for me, that's where I've seen the limitations of dance or forms. So the only way for me is to have no form. So then as you get older, then that's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You can even become, it's about who you are in the space and acceptance. And I'm 43, and that's what happens when I walk on stage. I walk on with this idea that, you know, I just have to be the best version of myself and the most authentic I can be in this moment. And that's what, and actually that this half an hour or an hour, if this was the last dance I had, it would be perfect. It is perfect. And that's what I like to go on with that. Some people will call it like an emptiness, how you walk on stage. And that's what I like to try and bring. So, yes.
But I think that's that needs to have a lot of trust in yourself to be, have not the performance anxiety, and you know you go out there and you know everything is coming. But I think it's also when you watch performances, I think that's the most authentic thing, when you like actually being completely in your movements and in yourself. I actually never knew that Japan is the second country after Spain that loves flamenco. And even though when we went to La Blanca Noche, I think it called in Sevilla, near Cordoba in Spain, and we saw all these people dancing, and the Japanese people did it absolutely accurate to the spot and amazing, but it missed the born into culture of Spain of actually being, yes, this imperfection but understanding the whole dance on a different level. That's what I felt, and I think that's a bit what you're saying now. It's like that just going there and you just embody this, and it's just like you, and you just kind of trust in yourself and you breathe it and it's part of you. I think that makes any for yourself, but also for the people that watch, I think the most beautiful performance, even if it's perfection.
Well, that's perfection is a big word, because you know that's always coming from the outside, because it has to be compared to something. So you know, I mean, if you're in the moment, and I've seen this with my, because my mentor is 63 now, and he became male dancer of the year in his 50s, and he never danced before in Australia. So, you know, I've seen him, but you would never know if he made a mistake, because everything, his spontaneous thinking mind is so quick that it's all part of it. And that's where I like to believe. That's where I'd like, you know, to be able, I want to be able to do that even more. There is no mistakes. It's actually perfect the way it is. And when you talked about, you know, like the Japanese learning flamenco, it's also vice versa, because now Buto, which is the, you know, famous Japanese dance, is so taken over by the West in some ways. And yeah, it's very different. It's very different, like not like the original, you know? But that's a very interesting area about when art becomes a commodity. And I've always kind of struggled with, you know, not that I always chose the work over actually the money. Because I worked in dance companies, and then I realized, oh, it's just a job. And I don't know if it's really grabbing my, you know, grabbing me by the heartstrings, you know what I mean? And so for me, that was it was always a thing, because I also believe that art should be accessible for everyone. But, you know, that's not the case. And the privilege I've had is I've seen, you know, classical Indian, Indonesian dancers that form for the king. I've seen that in villages, and I've danced with these people. I've danced in, you know, when I was 23 in the slums of in Delhi with Rajasthani artists. And those experiences for me, they are so rich.
Yeah.
And, but it also developed my philosophy of art, be like what's really coming from very simple working class background. And I look at dance as a gift to me, because I still don't really know why I chose it, because I didn't, but I did. And I, you know, and so that's the gift. It's like, wow, it should be for everyone. So my preparation, which might be interesting, is a lot of people there, I remember when we were in dance school, we'd be thinking of the choreography, and we'd be all on this count, do this one, and la 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 la. And I was just like, because I started so late, I felt like I had no rhythm and no sense of counting. So then over the years, and seeing some of the how they did it in Asia, it was a preparation before you went on stage. It was a preparation of a sense of how you walk on stage, again, empty or neutral. And so for me to do that, I go into all these, like about a week before I perform, I'm opening myself up. And what that is I have to drop into something deeper. And with that, I get very vulnerable. So, you know, like when I go outside, then I'm like, ooh, you know, I have this vulnerability of, because I ask myself questions like, why am I doing this? Is this to do it for my ego? And I have to answer these questions. And when I come to the day of the performance, I do this, I say, I do this because this is what I can do. I can show myself at these deep levels in front of people. And this is like so important, because of dancing isn't in my culture. Irish people, Anglo-Saxons, they don't really dance. They do Irish dancing, and I understand it. They're all forms in my mind. And, you know, so I asked myself these questions, and then normally I've been dancing with my mentor for the last 13 years. So when I go on stage with him, we don't warm up. We don't warm up the body, because we can do that as we dance. It's a simple thing. Like, you don't need to warm up when you go for a walk. So why do you need to warm up when you dance? Mm-hmm. Only unless you have maybe a set choreography that you have to go really physical from the beginning, would mm-hmm. you might have to warm up. So we're breaking all those things. But the main thing I do is I come to this point where I look into his eyes. And then I feel like I'm being seen and I'm perfect the way I am. And once we have that connection of being able to look into each other's eyes on for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, then I'm ready to walk on stage. I let go of all the judgment I have of myself and I give over that hour. I give over that hour and I allow whatever needs to be come through my body. And of course that's the work, and that continues till the day I die, because you actually get better with the sense of presence. So there was a lot of things when I started working in this area that I realized who I was in my real life, you know, but I was young. I was 29, 30 when I first came to Australia, and I was kind of a bit, you know, maybe my ego, you know, my protections were up. And now I can see all that on stage.
Mm.
It's fantastic. It's just, you know, you can see what it is. It's like, and so this is what excites me about bringing it into therapy and being able to help people find ways into their body. And, you know, it's a way of giving to yourself.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful what you said the whole way through, because even if people are not dancing, it's still so valid on even just human being, you know, on just without words, having space, feeling a connection, what we said before, like even, you know, becoming more aware, letting go more, letting go of ego, becoming less oriented on the outcome, but more being in the present moment, and so many other things you said just previously. But I feel like the last block that you spoke, I think, was all really also for everyone that listens that doesn't dance, because it's so profound, you know. And I think like other cultures possibly have this more natural still in them, while in the Western countries we, you know, the focus is on different importances than that. But I feel we're coming back to this, and I think a lot of people on an unconscious level possibly also feel things, like even when people have no idea of dancing and they see a performance, they feel it resonates somewhere with them, and they judge somehow why they find something good and not for themselves, because obviously they feel it in themselves somewhere, I would say. Well, and some
I see when I listen, I see and I hear aspects of the difficulty of what I've seen in certain forms of dance, like, you know, just to pick the ballet as the cliche, because it's so popular in the West, and even the word contemporary dance now for me is confusing, you know. And I studied, you know, Martha Graham, I studied Cunningham, you know, Le Mon in school, but they're still forms. And, you know, I don't know how, I don't want to be contentious in saying it, but I don't know how contemporary that is. Mm. I think it's, you know, it because when a lot of the time when I was in dance school, and I was 23 going into dance school in the Netherlands. So that was after 2 years of basic training in Ireland. And I had a 4-year course to do. So I was going to finish by the time I was 26, 28, you know, that sort of age. And the girls were all thinking they were too old, and they would say, "You're lucky to be a guy because you can start older." And it was a really interesting philosophy that they had. You know, it was already maybe they really had a certain idea of what it was to be a dancer. You know, and I think it's great to blow that out of the water, you know, realistically, if you can let go of your idea of form and your be present in the space, if this is for performance now, if you can be, if you can be present in the space and just be authentic in that, it's so watchable. Because, especially because we don't get so much of an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the nicest practices I like to do is before I go on stage, I just do be talking to the audience. And we like to practice this. And you could be back, you know, just out with the crowd. And then the next thing, you're on stage. And I love to be able to do this so that I actually am connected to the people. And they see that it's not some special trick and it's not some, oh, magic. I don't like the separation.
Yeah.
I love the capacity of able to be going deep into something, going into deep states, and then coming out and being able to just open from my heart in the moment to what's going on. And I think that brings the audience, when you're having an event, it brings them in and it brings them with you. So that to me is a beautiful skill. And it's something you can always practice as you get older and older, you know?
Yeah.
It's also the changing of how you think. Lots of times you'll hear people say they have injury. And I look at it now as an injury, like at the moment I got an injury at the weekend on my knee. And so now I look at it like, okay, I have an injured leg. But I will look at it like, okay, with the injured leg, I won't use my leg, but I can find a whole range of body to move. It's the capacity to, once you don't have a form and you can sink into your own body and find your own special, unique dance that's totally yours. Nobody else can copy you.
Yeah.
That's because nobody else has your experiences, you know? No matter how much they look good in synchronicity, nobody has the same experiences. So you're one of a kind, and that's the beauty of it. But it's been able to dance that one of a kind dance. But that's not what happens. People are trying to copy another form. You know, I also like the area of not dancing. That's another good thing about ecstatic dance. We don't have mirrors.
Yeah.
So you can focus in on your own, you know, find your own internal choreography, come up with images, and then that's true to who you are, you know, and you find a story in that.
So someone else can be your mirror.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, you know.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Amazing. Just one more question is like, what is dance for you in like a few short what is it for you and your, you know, heart and soul?
The good thing about my dance now is because I have hindsight, you know, I've been dancing for over 23 years. And what I can say about dance is it's always been there for me. And it became this moment where I realized, especially when my father died, when I was around 29 and I had finished dance school, it became this, I can create my own reality. I can create this sense of my own dance. When I was 23 in the slums of India, I met a choreography and it was called Life is a Dance, Imaginary World Without Words. And it's so true. So it's given me my own imagination. It's given me the capacity to be creative. And this is such a rich thing for me. You know, you could be a landowner with 1,000 slaves, but you have to take care of all that and you're never free. but you could be a slave and nobody can have your mind. And the dance has made my mind more creative. It has made me go off on a journey, and it's how I live my life. There is no difference. There's no separation anymore. There used to be a separation. There's no separation anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
My whole meaning. It's my whole meaning because it's how I live my life. I can be spontaneous in life and I can be spontaneous on the dance. So I like that, you know. Nowhere to hide. Yeah, some of the choreographies I've been fortunate to do. The last one was KO, KO. And it's called Kill Ourselves. Because in some ways, when we want to grow, we have to get rid of an old identity.
Yeah.
And jump into the vibe. And it's so scary. But you have no choice.
Mm.
I have no choice because otherwise I feel like I go into the madness or the, you know, I go mad. I feel like, oh, I need some growth. I need to grow. Mm. Plus I also need to be around people to allow this mirror neuron experience to, you know? So yeah, it can be intense, but I, you know, that's maybe me. That's part of who I am. I don't apologize for that. I think it's nice to be serious, you know?
Amazing.
But I also know the value, of course, of being playful, and that's also there. But yeah, it's like my identity, you know? It's like, I'm not a writer, I'm a dancer. And you know, maybe in the next life, I'll come back as a singer. That would be awesome.
That'd be great. Oh, beautiful. It's so much wisdom in what you say and your experience. Because that's actually what I meant before, is like, even if you're not a dancer now and you haven't danced before and you might want to dance, but I think it's so applicable to everyday life in any way, shape or form as well, metaphorically.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say that I haven't asked you?
I can speak on what you just said there. I think what I observe a lot, and I've watched a lot of people dance one-on-one, face-to-face for many years. And I think this area of, sometimes we don't know how self-conscious we are.
Mm.
And we that becomes our guideline on for what we think, how we should be. And the beautiful thing about when you truly can let go of that, which is big, or ungrasp, which I prefer nearly, because you don't have to get rid of it totally.
Mm-hmm.
It's still part of who you are. I'm still Brendan from the village. You know what I mean? So ungrasp has that sense of, we're still there, but you know, but it's not taking over my identity. And this capacity to start to be able to drop in and realize the value when you find your own unique dance. And that when I see that in people, when I see people feel that, even if it's just 20 seconds of a 2-minute dance, there's a smile on your face and it explains exactly what you're saying when you done the dyad or the witnessing, you know. And it's always that area. It's so meaningful because it's your personal dance. And of course, a lot of the time in performance, there's always a line in between the audience. The audience pays money, so then they're expecting something. Another difficulty with the paying, bartering sort of area. And so, yes, but for your own personal dance, when you start discovering this, it can just allow so much to come up. And some of that you don't even need to have an answer for. This is also what I've learned, that you can just feel the feels or feel the senses in the body and not attach to it. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what came for me, because, you know, at 28 years of age, 29 years of age, after going through dance school, then having my father die, I was so emotional. And of course, I understand it, but I didn't understand that. I also had a heartbreak and I just lost myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. And after the years went by and I continued in the work I did, and I've been very influenced by Grotowski, which is he has a book called Towards the Poor Theatre. And it's been able to touch your emotions, be able to recall your body, the emotions. For example, if I think of sadness and I had to act sadness 5-10 nights in a row, that's a very difficult thing if I want to rely on emotions to get me there.
Mm-hmm.
I might become a crazy person. So you can't rely on emotions to get you there. But Grotowski will talk about you can rely on a series of actions. And what I'd like to do, and I like to bring this to people, is like, I imagine a moment when I'm sad, because that's such a clear emotion. And I remember the moment when I was sad and my father died. And I can see my voice changed. The body had a sense of fragility. It wasn't like this, you know? It was And so I can allow. So when you're able to feel into it, it takes time to get into these states. So I'm just trying to give a little glimpse into it. When you feel it in, but you just don't attach to it. That's nearly the skill as the years go on.
Yeah.
You drop in and you drop out. And that's so applicable to your life. How you can drop into things and not attach to when someone says something to you about you and you make that feel like it's your total identity. So this was really helpful for me, how to be able to drop in to a sense of, because the body remembers everything. Mm. Even if you were really able to tune in, you could remember your birth. And sometimes I like this image, how you can imagine you're a baby again and you allow your jaw, not in the neck. And you just go deeper into it. Mm. And then sometimes the images flash before your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the skill of being able to, you know, deal with these things and not always have a cognitive thing, a way of solution, of solving something. This is probably what causes the difficulty as well, you know? But so that's what I would love to share. So there you go.
Amazing. good finishing words, I guess. Is there something you would like to share with the world that you think is important? It's like a message from your heart that you would like to send out there, apart from the exercise that we did, you shared with me already before that this is kind of an important aspect.
I think dance is a medicine, and dance is, it can be a way to heal your body without having to rationally understand it all the time or cognitively understand. And this is what I've noticed from seeing people in different cultures from Africa who have gone through wars and really traumatic things, And the sense of community is what heals it. The sense of being able to move in a group around people, and that's what's healing for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Beautiful.
So being able to find ways to move and dance and to truly understand when you're embodied. And this to me is, I'm constantly working on this.
Yeah. Or,
you know.
A journey, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. This was beautiful.
Anyone wants to reach out, or you know, they're able to do face to face with me on Zoom. It's different than, of course, you know, face to face and body, but it's still a good amazing experience. And I can do group stuff as well. But yeah, I like this one-on-one area. I think
I can link all your details in the show notes of this.
Yeah, I have a website, and you know, of course, it's all been updated, you know, everything for the year of the tiger 2022. So yes, it's a pleasure. Thank you for reaching out and wanting to connect. It's great. And success on your journey too. I'm sure I'll see you at Ecstatic Dance very soon.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you, my love. See you soon.
Bye.